Today is Monday, September 26th. What to know about another strong storm, this one called Ian, and how Florida is already preparing. Also, early results show Italy has likely elected its first woman prime minister and has set the stage for its most conservative government in decades. Plus, a first-of-its-kind space mission in the hopes of being able to save Earth one day. Which pop superstar will headline the Super Bowl halftime show? And why millions of people around the world are saying a version of Happy New Year today. Those stories and more news to know coming up. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. All of Florida is under a state of emergency today as the panhandle braces for what could be the strongest storm to slam into them in years. Tropical Storm Ian is headed toward Florida. The storm is growing stronger by the hour. It's expected to reach hurricane strength today, then grow into a major hurricane as soon as tomorrow. Weather experts say Ian could be a Category 3 hurricane or stronger when it could make landfall on Florida later this week. First, it's tracking near the Cayman Islands and western Cuba. Meteorologists believe Ian will reach a Category 4 strength over the eastern Gulf of Mexico by Wednesday. It should lose at least some of its power before hitting Florida. And while there's still some uncertainty about what exactly Ian will do, Florida officials are urging residents to be prepared for the worst. Many across the state are buying up food and supplies while they can. Thousands of Florida National Guard members are now active and standing by to help once the storm arrives. Caribbean storms have caused a lot of damage and trouble over the past week. You'll remember Hurricane Fiona tore through Puerto Rico, knocking out power and water to much of the island. As of last night, about half of the nearly 1.5 million power customers still did not have electricity. And since then, the storm swung out to the east and moved up to Canada as one of the strongest storms to ever hit that area. Hundreds of thousands of people across Canada's eastern provinces, like Quebec, Nova Scotia, and more, have no power at all. Leaders say it will take months to restore the critical infrastructure that so many in the country depend on. At least one woman died in the storm. With a large number of essential Canadian roads also blocked by debris, it could be quite some time before eastern Canada fully recovers. History made in Italy overnight, as the country is likely going to get its first woman prime minister and has set the stage for its most far-right government since World War II. Early results and exit polls suggest Giorgia Meloni, the head of the Brothers of Italy party, is the likely winner, though full results aren't expected until later today. Already, though, she gave a victory speech saying they're not at the end point, but at the starting point. She also acknowledged the record low voter turnout of just 64% and promised to work to rebuild people's trust in political institutions there. The Italian Democratic Party called the results a sad evening for the country. Meloni's party has post-fascist roots, first forming after the war by people who admired a dictator, though Meloni plays down those roots. It will still be weeks before the new Italian parliament is seated and a new government is formed. Back in the U.S., the autopsy report about the death of a young black man 3 years ago has been updated. The amended report was recently released and says Elijah McClain died because of complications from a ketamine injection after he was forcibly restrained. Ketamine is a powerful sedative. The original autopsy report that was written soon after his death back in 2019 did not reach any conclusion about how he died. Remember, 23-year-old Elijah McClain was stopped by three officers because a 911 caller said he looked suspicious and was wearing a ski mask. He was never accused of breaking any law. Officers wrestled him to the ground and put him in a chokehold. When paramedics arrived, they sedated McClain with ketamine. He had two heart attacks in the ambulance and died a few days later. Now, despite the change in the autopsy about the cause of death, the manner of death is still listed as undetermined, so it doesn't say if it's considered a homicide or not. Because of the initial autopsy, charges were not brought right away against anyone involved. But last year, a grand jury did indict three police officers and two paramedics. Those cases are still underway. But new information during that grand jury investigation led the state's attorney general to order the second autopsy. If you're looking to get the newest COVID-19 booster shot ASAP, just know some pharmacies may only be offering the Pfizer shot right now. In recent days, federal officials have said there's been a shortage of the Moderna shots. The FDA ordered the release of millions of doses now, so more Moderna booster shots are expected to be available soon. But there was a delay due to a production issue. FDA inspectors put things on hold at one plant due to potential violations of drug manufacturing standards, though the facility later said it was not related to the Moderna booster batches. Despite the delay, Moderna still says it's on track to deliver 70 million doses of the booster by the end of the year. Of course, we're talking about the new shots that specifically target the Omicron variant as well as the original strain of COVID-19. And keep in mind, you can get either the Pfizer or Moderna booster shots, regardless of which shot you got the first time. All right, we have much more news still ahead. But first, I want to tell you about another podcast that you or the women in your life should check out. It is called Morning Meditation for Women. So if you don't already know, I am a huge fan of meditation. And truly, what makes a big difference for me is finding even just 5 to 15 minutes a day for meditation. I found the more you do it, the easier it is to fit it in, and the more impactful it is to your mood and your entire day. And Morning Meditation for Women is a great go-to place for quick daily meditations. This show will help you build and maintain that daily habit of meditation. There are new ones every day, and they're just about 10 minutes long. My friend Katie is the soothing voice of these meditations, and I love the music and sounds she chooses for them as well. She makes each one very approachable, so these can be great for the beginner or the seasoned meditator. It'll help you start your day with more calm and peace. And paired alongside the newsworthy, you are going to have the best morning routine without needing to commit too much time. So listen for free by searching Morning Meditation for Women in your podcast player or click the link in our episode notes. Again, search for Morning Meditation for Women and enjoy. A first-of-its-kind space mission is happening today with the hopes of answering this question. Can NASA save humanity if an asteroid were headed straight for Earth? It's called the DART mission, short for Double Asteroid Redirection Test. We first told you about it last November when it launched. And since then, the DART spacecraft has spent nearly a year traveling to an asteroid system about 7 million miles away. And now, later tonight, the critical point of impact. NASA will crash the spacecraft into an asteroid on purpose at a speed of 14,000 miles per hour to see if it works the way they think it will, nudging the asteroid just enough to change its path. Of course, the asteroid is not actually a threat to Earth right now, since this is just a test. But it will provide important information in case the real thing happens one day. A smaller spacecraft will be along for the ride to hang back and take photos, and you can actually watch live on NASA's YouTube channel. The crash is set for 7:14 p.m. Eastern time, but it will likely take days or even weeks to find out if the plan worked to shift the asteroid's path just as expected. One of the world's most watched events of the year has found its performer. Pop superstar Rihanna will headline the Super Bowl halftime show in February. The 9-time Grammy winner posted a picture of her hand holding up a football on her Instagram account, and it was later confirmed. Rihanna fans worldwide are riled up, trying to figure out which of her many Billboard chart-topping hits will be worked into the show at Super Bowl 57. Rihanna actually turned down an opportunity to perform at the Super Bowl just a few years ago. Super Bowl halftime performers are actually not paid for their work, not a dime. They just benefit from the exposure and publicity that comes from being watched by an audience of more than 100 million people. Also of note, for the first time in a decade, the Super Bowl will have a new sponsor. Apple Music is taking over as the title sponsor of America's most watched event. Pepsi was the previous sponsor and had been since 2013. Just how much does it cost to be the lead sponsor of the Super Bowl? Well, some sources are reporting that Apple is paying as much as $50 million a year for the opportunity. The big game and its halftime show will air Sunday, February 12th. The 700 Club now has a new elite member, Albert Pujols. The St. Louis Cardinals slugger hit 2 home runs against the Dodgers, bringing his career total to 700 home runs. And that's a big deal because only 3 people in the history of Major League Baseball have ever managed to accomplish that. And one of them was Babe Ruth. Hank Aaron and Barry Bonds are the other 2. Pujols still has 8 games left to play this season, but that's likely going to be the end of the road. Weeks ago, Pujols announced that this would be his last season playing. So who could be the next player to reach the 700 home run mountain? Sports analysts say there is no one in the game today who is anywhere close. Well, speaking of some of the best in the world, the Americans won the President's Cup once again. At the tournament in Charlotte, North Carolina, the U.S. beat the international golf team by a score of 17.5 to 12.5. It's a bit of a streak for the U.S. golf team. They've now won the Cup 9 times in a row. Some of the best performances of the tournament came from American Jordan Spieth and Patrick Cantlay. The tournament itself is a bit of a treat for golf fans. It's only played once every other year, and it pits 12 of the best players in America against a combined team of the 12 best players from the rest of the world. Millions of Jewish people around the world are celebrating Rosh Hashanah this week, otherwise known as the Jewish New Year. The holiday started last night at sundown and lasts until sunset on Tuesday. Rosh Hashanah is one of the most sacred events on the Jewish calendar. The holiday is the start of a 10-day period of prayer, reflection, and repentance that leads up to Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah customs typically include prayer and eating festive meals with symbolic foods, such as apples with honey, to symbolize the hope of a sweet year to come. There's also the blowing of the traditional horn called the shofar. That's it for the main news, so now it's time for Money Monday, when we talk about one interesting money-related news story. And while we usually have a sponsor right here, today I want to let you know that this month marks 5 years of The Newsworthy. Yes, we started back in 2017, and all of you are the reason we keep showing up every day. So thank you so much for being here. And to honor 5 years of this show, I want to feature at least 5 listeners on the podcast. So if you want to take part, simply call 812-785-NEWS to leave a short voice message with at least your first name and why you listen to The Newsworthy, how it's part of your day, or what you like most about it, and I might play it on the show. Again, the number is 812-785-NEWS, that's N-E-W-S. Of course, I always appreciate you sharing the show with friends or on social media or leaving a review if you'd rather help us celebrate that way. Without you listening and telling other people about it, The Newsworthy would not be possible. So thank you again for 5 years. Here's to 5 more. Okay, now back to Money Monday. Well, it seems economists are split about whether the U.S. is actually headed for a recession, and it comes as the stock market hit a new low for 2022 on Friday. CNBC's September Fed survey of economists, fund managers, and strategists found that just more than half of them think a recession is likely in the next 12 months. One professor of applied economics at Johns Hopkins University told CNBC he's confident it will lead to a recession, that there's an 80% chance the U.S. will fall into a recession as the Federal Reserve continues to raise interest rates in an effort to get inflation under control. But others are more optimistic. The Atlanta Federal Reserve president told CBS's Face the Nation he believes the U.S. central bank can tame inflation without major job losses. But really, there's enough uncertainty that even Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell acknowledged recently that he doesn't know how this will all turn out. His focus is bringing down inflation, which impacts the costs of pretty much everything. But after raising rates again last week, he said, quote, "No one knows with any certainty where the economy will be a year or more from now." All right, thank you again for listening and making us part of your day. We'll be back with much more news to know tomorrow. For now, have a great day.